don't know where you stand, but I believe that.
Yes,
amen. Amen. I believe we're going to make it. I believe he who begun a good work in us will complete it. Amen.
Yes,
I'm going to turn me up just a tad. These are in the altar. By all means, take your time. This morning, we're going to probably one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible, and that is Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. If you've been around here long, you probably won't hear anything you don't know. But evidently, some of you need to be reminded, as do myself, of what the Lord's done in my heart and in my life.
Amen.
Just like that song reminded us, I'm gonna make it. Every now and then we need somebody to come along and say, hey, dummy, you belong to Him.
Amen.
You're going to make it.
Amen.
Get your head up out of the sand. Get your lip off the ground. You're going to be all right because of what God has done for you, what God has done in you, and what God's doing through you. You're going to be all right. But if you're here this morning, you're not saved, this message is for you too. Amen. We sing one of our favorite hymns around here is Our Great Savior. Great salvation. Salvation. Did you know that being saved is the greatest thing that could ever happen in your life? Do you understand that? It's better than winning the lottery. I'm talking about knowing Christ as your Savior. It's better than marrying, hey boys, it's better than marrying the supermodel. One day she'll get fat. Amen. It's better than having the brand new cars because they wear out.
Amen.
Come on, am I right about it? It's better than having political power because that ends also.
Amen.
Ain't nothing better than knowing Jesus.
Amen.
My dear friend who's in heaven now, Brother Micah Henson wrote that song several years ago, Ain't Nothing Better Than Jesus. Brother Harry Nick said, if you got something better than that, roll it out here and let us look at it. Amen. But the greatest thing a person can know is that they're saved.
Amen.
Now I want you to shout good and loud if you do.
Yeah.
You know that you're saved.
Yes.
Every now and then I have to look at myself and say, hey, stupid.
Amen.
You ought to be doing better than what you're doing.
Yeah.
Amen. Anybody else like that?
Yes,
I have to be reminded. I want to look at, I guess about 10 verses in Ephesians chapter number 2 and just give you a few little thoughts through here this morning and we'll have an altar call. Continue to pray for my throat if you would. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2, in you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. I'm afraid I'll get stuck right there if I even start, but I love that verse.
Amen.
Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. It's talking about the devil.
Right.
The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I love this conjunction coming up right here. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let's pray. Father, as we come to You this morning, God, again, we thank You, Lord, for a good day. And Lord, the Spirit's been sweet in this place already this morning. Now, Lord, I need Your help. I pray You'd touch my throat. Help me to preach this message, God, that You've put on my heart. Lord, save the lost. And God, the wandering child of God, I pray You'd draw them home this morning. Father, we'll thank You and we'll praise You, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I just read to you, I believe, some of the greatest verses in the Bible. It's those verses. Hey, I believe if a man had Ephesians chapter number 2, if there was no Bible, and he stumbled across an envelope and it had in it Ephesians chapter number 2 and Exodus 20 with the Ten Commandments, he'd make it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I believe he'd have enough right there just to get saved and live for God.
Yeah.
Hey, they are some way back here live for God and they didn't have that much.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This morning, I want to talk to you about the greatest thing that I've ever known in my life. And that is the fact of being a child of God. I wish I could explain it to you. I wish I could just get real theological and say this is how it works and this is how it happens. But I'll be honest, I'm not real sure. I just know it did. And if you ever got saved, you know it. Amen. If you ever really got born again, you know that you got born again. Something moved down on the inside of your heart that was bigger than what was there before. Hallelujah, man. If you got saved, you know that you got saved. Amen. You say, oh no, you're one of them no-so. You can no-so. Oh yeah, I'm one of them no-sos. You say, how do you know? Because a no-so. John said, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. It's not a hope so or a maybe so thing. And if you don't know so, I would know so for I left here today.
Amen.
Amen. Greatest thing ever happened to man, woman, boy, or girl. Isn't it odd? The greatest thing in the world can happen to us and then we'd walk away from it.
Amen.
We like sheep are prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. Amen. You say, well, somebody, and I won't go into all this, but you say, well, if somebody slips and falls, they got to get saved again. No, they're still God's child.
Amen.
They just ain't right with Him.
Amen.
Amen. Some of y'all got wayward teenagers. They're still your kid.
Amen.
No matter what, and you're going to love them regardless if you've got a brain in your head.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And they're still your child, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah. I'm still His child. It is amazing to me how I do it and how you do it. And I watch God, the miracles that He's worked in our life. The things that we've seen Him do that are so great and so wonderful. And then we just walk away. Isn't that crazy? That shows you how fallible we are. That shows you how carnal this old flesh is. The greatest thing that ever happened is being born again. I want to look at just four simple little thoughts down through these verses this morning. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I want you to notice, first of all, our misery before salvation. Our misery before salvation. Look at verse number 1. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where was we? We were dead. In the eyes of God, we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. Look at verse number 2. He said, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, watch this, the children of wrath, even as others. Wow. Do you remember how miserable you was before you got saved? There's probably somebody sitting here right now saying, well, I'm not saved and I'm not that miserable. No, you are. You just don't know it. You are that miserable. You just don't know it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 19. The life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all miserable.
Amen.
We say it all the time. I don't see how people do it at the funeral homes without Him. I don't see it when they have to walk to them little graves with a baby casket. I don't see how they do that without Him.
Amen.
I don't see how they bury 15-year-old grandsons without Him.
Yeah.
I don't see how they do that. I don't see how they put Mama on a plane to fly her across the country to get her liver cut out of her. I don't see how they do that.
Yeah.
But thank God we're miserable. Thank
yeah.
God. Hey, we were in our misery before we got saved. But when we got saved, we got joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. What's miserable about being a true joy? Everything we do is short-lived. We're trying to make happiness and we're trying to build happiness and we're trying to buy happiness. But all that wears off. Isn't it funny? It's only a new car till the smell's gone. Amen. And then the payment book comes. You thought the thing is going to make you happy made you miserable. Amen. I corrected myself one time. I'd always heard preachers say, and I'd said it, you can't buy happiness. You can. I ain't never seen nobody sad on a jet ski. Amen. I ain't never seen nobody sad on the screen machine. You can buy it by joy. Happiness is last and last and last. But we want to, but it don't. Amen. Our misery before our salvation. Some of you here this morning, you're searching, you're struggling. You've tried this and you've tried that. Got failed relationship, failed marriages, failed this and failed that. What you need is Jesus Christ. Amen. What you need is Jesus Christ. We're living in a miserable society. If you don't believe it, cut on the television. Listen to the news. And I don't care whether you listen to the liberal media or the conservative media. All they do is wah, 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 wah. They're the most miserable people that got to live on the face of the planet. They don't ever talk about nothing happy. It's always bad, 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 bad. That stuff will put you in a state of depression if that's all you listen to. Amen. I told you a while back, God convicted me about it. I had to cut it off. It was making me grouchy and irritable. You know why? Because they're dumping their misery in my ears.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Amen. I'm not against watching the news. I think you ought to stay up on it. Just enough that it don't affect you. Amen. Amen. Enough that we know how to pray for our country. Amen. But we're living in a world today that is miserable, man. Miserable. We're talking about kids, 12 and 13 years old, Brother Todd, on drugs. I'm talking about hard drugs, kids, children. And I'm not just talking about in Atlanta. I'm talking about right here. Miserable. We're living in a day when it's popular for our teenage girls in the middle school to kiss one another in the hall and experiment. Die on me now. It was a sin now. Hunt happy. They're trying to find happiness. They're trying to find joy. They're trying to find peace in their heart, but it's just not happening. How many of you be honest and remember how miserable you was before you got saved? Boy, especially the night leading up to it. Especially when that conviction came on and I realized how bad a shape I was in. Boy, then I got right. I'm praying some of you get just that miserable at the end of this service. I'm praying it starts right now. You start realizing, oh, that's me. I'm dead in my trespasses and sins. I'm a sinner, and I'm on my way to hell without Christ. We see our misery before salvation. You see, Christians have trouble just like the world or lost people have trouble. But we have somebody bigger than our trouble with us in our trouble. And they have Oprah and Dr. Phil and Joel Osteen. I'm going to say it. We have Jesus. Amen. We have Jesus. Secondly, we saw our misery before salvation. I want you to look at verses 4 through 7, and I want you to see our mercy through salvation. Not just our misery before. Hey, we can walk away from that. If we're saved, we can walk away from that misery. We may still have troubles and trials, but we don't have to live in that misery. Now, I want you to look at our mercy through salvation. Now, watch this. I'm going to point out some words right here. You know what mercy is, don't you? That's getting what you didn't deserve. That's knowing you're guilty, but forgiving you anyway. That's knowing you're guilty of a life sentence, but setting you free on the merit of somebody else. He said in verse 4, but God, who is rich in what? Mercy. For his great love, wherewith he, say the next two words with me, loved us. Here's what mercy did. Number one, it loved you. Mercy loved you when you was a drunk, when you was a doper. Amen. When you was an adulterer and a fornicator and all those things. Hey, he loved you then. I got in a big battle one time over this whole issue. There's a couple of preachers running around the country saying, for God so loved the world. He said, that's world. Oh, he loves sinners, friend. If he didn't love you, I grave as a teenage boy, but there was a God who was rich in mercy, wherewith he loved me, and he kept me out of the ditch, and he kept me out of the dope. Thanks be unto God. Hey, he loved me. That's a big thing right there. He loved me. This might be old news to you, but I've got news for you. He loves you. You say, well, you don't realize where I've been and what I've been doing. He knows exactly. But he loved you enough to have mercy, only let you hear another gospel message this morning. He loved us. I can't get over that. I just can't. I do it all the time. I look at myself and I look at my life and I examine my heart and I'm thinking, why do you love me? There's so much better preachers out there than I am. There's so much better Christians out there than I am. And it seemed like you just shower me with your favor and your love, and I just don't understand it. He loved us. I'm talking about our mercy through salvation. He loved us. But then let's read on. He loved us, in verse number 5, even when we were dead in sins, and hath, say the next word, quickened us together with Christ. He raised us up. Not only did he love us, but he raised us up. Now y'all remember the poor Samaritan that day, the good Samaritan. Y'all remember that story? That guy fell among thieves, was laying in a ditch. That religious crowd went around like a bunch of them do today. Bless his heart. They looked on him, but that's all they did. They passed by on the other side. I'm glad when Jesus came by and saw me dead in my sins, he didn't just look on me and say, what a mess that is, but he loved me and he quickened me. David said he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. He brought us up. Hey, getting saved is a bringing up. Amen. It's stepping up from your condition, your lost condition of where you are as a child of the devil to a child of God immediately. I like that word quickened, man. It don't mean it, but it makes me think of lightning. Father, forgive me. Boom. I don't know how many times I've heard people make the statement, I believe I was saved before I ever reached the altar. Confession comes after. Yes, right. Amen. He loved us. He quickened us. He raised us. What's this? And then he seated us. That's mercy right there. Brother David Naylor used to sing that song, I'm already there. I can't explain all that, but I'm as good as there. Let me say it again. I'm as good as there. Ain't nothing changing it. I'm as good as there. Thank God he loved me. He raised me. He quickened me. And he gave me a new seat. Why? I used to sit in that Psalms chapter 1 seat, that scornful seat. I used to sit back and make fun of all the Christians. Well, one day God gave me a new seat. The Bible said he seated us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I thank God for the misery before salvation that led me to Christ. I can't get off this. I thank God. Let me say it again. I thank God for the misery before salvation that led me to Christ. I don't think you get saved till you're miserable. I don't think you reach up till you're way down. Like a drowning man. Amen. Thank God for that misery. But oh, thank God for that mercy. Thank God for that mercy. Oh, when I didn't deserve his love, when I didn't deserve being quickened and raised and seated together in heavenly places, I didn't deserve that, but it was mercy. In verse 8 and 9, this will be pretty quick this morning. Children's church workers are going to kill me. We have a long invitation, okay? Verse number 8, I want you to notice not only our misery before salvation, but our mercy through salvation. But I want you to look at our miracle at salvation. our miracle at salvation. He said, for by grace are you saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now here's the miracle. You say, what's a miracle about that? A miracle's something you can't really explain. A miracle's something that's supernatural and it's outside the realm of human mind or hand. Does that make sense? That's what makes salvation a miracle. It's outside of my grasp and it's outside of your grasp. He said, not of works, lest any, nothing you could do to deserve being saved. Amen. I don't care how big a check you write and give to the church. I don't care how many right miles you ride a bicycle. I don't care how many thousands of Watchtower magazines you give away. I don't care if you stand at the door of the Atlanta airport 10 hours a day, every day of your life. For the Church of the Latter-day Saints. They're there every time I go. You know what they're doing? They're trying to earn that spot. But salvation is not something you can earn. If we could earn it, why did Jesus have to die? If we could earn it and be good enough for God to accept us as we are without the blood of Jesus Christ being shed, then tell me, dear Lord, why did he have to come and suffer and bleed and die? Why? Because you couldn't. Man tried to do it for, what, 4,000 years? 4,000 years he tried to live up to God's expectation. He tried and failed, try and fail, and try and fail. You say, well, isn't that what we do now? Yeah, but now we got the blood of Christ. Which cleanseth us, the Bible said, from all sin. Salvation's the greatest miracle that ever happened. I wish some of them televangelists would get a hold of that. Salvation's a greater miracle than fixing somebody's ear. Amen. Salvation's a bigger miracle than fixing somebody's blowed out knee. Amen. They've occurred to you. Sometimes it may be God's will for somebody to be deaf in one ear. But it ain't God's will that any perish. That's the big miracle. That's why we make such a big deal about it around here. That's why every Sunday morning, Brother Michael will come over from junior church and he'll stand in the balcony and hold up however many fingers or how many got saved, and we'll clap and we'll rejoice over that. We got some adult ladies sitting right here this morning just in the last month or so, walked right down here and gave their heart to Christ and got born again. I'm talking about we're witnessing great miracles. And here's what Baptists are doing. But you know what? If I walked over here and laid my hand on Shane Reese's prosthetic leg and he grew a new one right before your eyes, somebody would shout, Brother Jason. People would be saying, I ain't never seen nothing like that in my life. Man, that's wild. Man, that was awesome. Do it again. No, he don't need three. He needs one of the... We was at the park a couple years ago on our big day. Brother Shane and me and him were sitting in the grass talking. I was whittling with my knife. And I was going to stab his fake leg, you know. It was his good one. And I realized it right before it sunk in. I went, oh! He said, you're about to stab me in the good foot, amen? But wouldn't that people just be amazed at that? They would. Brother Doug, he's not back there this morning, is he? There he is. Well, hey, it ain't time to sleep. He had his head all down, just sounds. No, I'm kidding, he didn't. He's blind. If I could walk back there and put my hands on him, whew, I guarantee his wife would shout. But man, people come to this altar week after week after week, and the greatest miracle of all happens. And our problem is we've gotten used to it. Amen. We just expect it. That's part of what happens around here. People hear the gospel and they get saved. But man, let's not lose the wonder and the greatness of what that is. There ain't nothing better than seeing new babies be born into the body of Christ. Amen. Our misery before salvation. That misery will push you to the Lord. Amen. You got to get sick before you can get well. Our mercy through salvation. He loved us. He quickened us. He raised us up. He seated us together. Our miracle at salvation. We're saved by grace. Don't ever get to thinking you deserve what you got. You got what you did not deserve. You got the best heaven had to offer to cover the worst you had to offer. And lastly, and I'm done, I want you to see in verse number 10, our ministry after salvation. That's ministry. What did God make you to do? I know what He made me to do. Sometimes I fail Him at it miserably. But I know what it is. There's some here, no doubt in my mind, they were made to teach. I mean, they absorb Bible knowledge. Brother Charles is a Bible teacher. Brother Freddie. I mean, these guys are unreal. I mean, God's blessed us. Brother Ronnie back there, boy, he's a walking Bible. I believe Sammy Allen would be embarrassed and sit down. Brother Ronnie started quoting Scripture. But God made us for something. He had something in mind when He saved us. Amen. Remember when He saved Paul on the road to Damascus? He had a plan for him right then. And He has a plan for your life. And I believe for a whole lot of you, part of that plan's something involved right here. Right here in this place. It may be with them precious children out there who just want somebody to love them. It's a hard job. Jeremiah was saying, boy, if they had a bunch more of us, a bunch more, wouldn't have to work quite as hard. Amen. I don't know where you fit, but there's a place in the puzzle for you. Our great salvation, Brother Todd, y'all come and get a song. Our misery before salvation. Our misery before salvation. That may be where somebody's at right now. Our mercy through salvation. Our miracle at salvation. And our ministry after salvation. Let's stand to our feet all.